Words for Life is by Reverend Brett Peatman of Aspendale Presbyterian Church in Melbourne. He talks about John 3:16 in the Bible. The introductory Bible reading by David Suchet is John 3 verses 14 to 21. Talk time is 23 minutes.
Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
Now today we come, as we've been working through the Gospel of John, to what is probably the most famous verse in the entire Bible. This is the verse people hold up in stadiums on cardboard, and this is the verse that ended up creating a new rule for the American Football League, the NFL. There was a quarterback for the Denver Broncos called Tim Tebow. Back in 2006 to 2009. He became famous because of his skill and his achievements, winning games after the last siren, that sort of thing. He was that sort of player. But he's also remembered for his habit of writing Bible verses on his eye black. You're like, what on earth am I talking about? In order to deal with the lights and the shine, they put black under their eyes. But Tim decided he would put Bible verses written across under his eyes. It was actually quite effective as he got more and more coverage. In 2009, he wore John 3:16 in his eye black in the BCS championship game. In the following 24 hours, Google recorded 90 million Google searches for John 3:16. He got his message out by getting people to look up this verse. And as we look at this verse, we find it's very, very familiar. But there's also things in here that if we read them closely, will make us a little uncomfortable. That's the message of Jesus. And so it's worth reading this verse not just on its own, but in its context. For the context helps you understand what it's trying to say. If you open up to that passage in the notice sheet or in your Bible, it doesn't just start at verse 16. Verse 16 starts with the word for. It's a conjunction. It's looking back to the verses beforehand. And it's talking about verses 14 and 15 that we did talk about last week. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life in him. Now Jesus is referring to an incident in Numbers 24 about Moses lifting up a bronze snake in the middle of a camp as an answer to the judgment of God which was sent by a plague of snakes that killed people. You looked up at the bronze snake when you got bitten by a snake and you were healed. Jesus' point here in the Gospel of John is just as Moses did that, Jesus was going to be lifted up. And that everyone who looks to him when he's lifted up will have eternal life. His point was when Jesus is on the cross, all you need to do is look to him. And you will be saved. And then he goes on in verse 16 to explain this. What does it mean to be saved? How can you have this eternal life? How can we get there today? Maybe you're feeling your mortality at the moment. Maybe you're sick of things, but here's God's answer. Here is life that is eternal. It says, for God so loved the world. Notice that it starts with God. This is not about what we have done. It's what God has done. God is the one who initiates, who sorts things out. For God so loved the world. The contemporary English version translates this, God loved the world in this way. Because God didn't just love the world by sending love letters or looking longingly. God loved the world in a very particular way. He doesn't just have warm feelings about the world. God loved the world by giving his one and only Son. God loved the world by sacrificing. And that phrase, one and only, in older languages is that word begotten. Begotten, not made, of the same essence. This is the same phrase that has already been used a couple of times in the Gospel of John. If you go back to chapter 1 and verse 14, it's the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Or verse 18, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father has made himself known. Here is the one who is God, the one who is in closest relationship with the Father, the person who is loved the most by God, is sent here to this world for us. That's love. That word begotten means the same essence of God. It's been historically understood through things like the Nicene Creed, developed at the Council of Nicaea in the year 325. It says, I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. In a sense, here we're looking into the doctrine of the Trinity, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are all the one substance, but different persons. The point that it's making here is that Jesus is unique. He is the one and only. And God gave Jesus. That's what God's love looks like. And this giving of Jesus has an effect. It's so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, many people today think that God is not involved in our world, that he's somehow set the mechanism running and just let it go. That's not what this is teaching. This is teaching that God loves the world, that he's got involved in the world in a very particular way, that the sovereign Lord of the universe has chosen to act by sending his one and only Son for us, so that we might share eternal life with him. See, God has not acted through a religion or an institution, but through a person. It's not a program or a checklist, or you do not have to fill in a particular form or abide by a code of conduct. It's a person you've got to deal with first and foremost. We come to Jesus. And this offer is open to whoever believes in him. Whoever. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been. God can forgive. God can restore. The start of it is looking to Jesus. This is far more than what you know. It is not about getting your doctrine right or your understanding right. It's about knowing Jesus, relating to him, coming to him. Knowing God is not about finding the right path for you in your life. It's actually about knowing the man on the door, the one who opens it to everyone. And what you might have noticed already is I've gone right to the end of this verse, but I've skipped one part that is particularly difficult for us, that we might not perish. See, Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. But there's a bit of context in this verse that we're all destined to perish. Apart from Jesus, there is not much hope. Almost everyone dies. That's where we go. And these verses go on to explain why. We already know from the Gospel of John that he didn't have a particularly positive view of people. Chapter 2, verse 25 hints at this. He didn't need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. Now, going back in the Bible, we know that in Genesis 3, we all fall with Adam. We all fall into our own self-interest and sin. But that's what Jesus comes for. He comes to save us from ourselves and to restore us. This is verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. That's great news. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So while Jesus is incredibly inclusive, he welcomes all people who come to him, no matter where they're from, what they've done, we are having to deal with him one way or another. To not come to Jesus is to continue toward destruction. That's what these verses are saying. They stand condemned already because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Then verse 19 tells us how our world works, whether we're judged or not judged. Verse 19, this is the verdict, this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. People love darkness. Now, we know Jesus has already come to be the light of the world. That was the start of the Gospel of John. He is the true light that gives light to everyone, the true light which the world does not recognize. And that's the verdict. This is how God is sifting people out. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness. Now, I think we find this a little uncomfortable, but we sort of know it's true. People find being exposed uncomfortable. Because when you stop and reflect on it, you and I have things in our life that we don't want everyone to know. We don't want to be exposed. We don't want people to see the mistakes we've made or the things we've done we know are wrong. If all our life was on display around the walls of this room, every conversation, every thought, we'd be very uncomfortable. people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Now, it's not saying you do wrong things all the time. It's just that there are things there that you know you need to deal with, that you can't make right, that we cannot make up for. And so, verse 20 goes on, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed." This verse is telling us that there are two types of people in the world. Those who will come into the light, who will come to Jesus, who will come towards him, and people who won't. That is the way the world is divided in God's eyes. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light. Now, people do not necessarily want the solution that God offers today. Lots of people want to find their own path, do their own thing. This passage is divisive because that's how Jesus intended it to be. We can look at his words here and know. Now, I've talked to lots of blokes over my time, and I've got to say, blokes my age tend to give you all sorts of reasons as to why they might not want to do business with God or talk about Jesus. You know, it's all junk, it's unbelievable. But if you spend any time scratching the surface, there's almost always a motive down there. They don't want something out. They don't want to give up something. There's something in their life that they know if they come to Jesus, they'll have to deal with. And so they stay in the darkness. But the invitation here is to come into the light, to come and see Jesus. But it also tells us here that in this world we can expect people to be critical of Christianity. Christians will continue to be criticized, opposed, undermined, belittled. That should be what we expect, actually, because people don't want the light. We are like little children who lie and think we can try and get away with it. But as we get older, we get more sophisticated. It's so easy to hide. But here we have a solution from God. Come into the light. God loved the world so that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. To come to Jesus means you're not the king of the universe anymore. You're not the queen of the universe. He is. He is the one over all things. To come into the light is to be exposed. And verse 21 tells us what this looks like. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. You come into the light because you know God's mercy. You know his forgiveness. And so much of our society today is about pretending how you can put out a good image. We look to our celebrities. We buy things all through Black Friday and get the bargain so we can look better and look like we have more money than we do. We like to think better of ourselves. But when you look to Jesus, all of that just fades away to nothing because you see how much God loves you. The good news of Jesus, yes, it is about being real about what reality is, but it's also making friends with reality in a really profound way. Once you know the amazing love of God, you want others to know that too. You see, all those things we've done wrong don't matter because Jesus has paid the price. We've looked to the one who was lifted up. We have life in his name. We come into the light. And the Christian life is about making life, light and truth manifest. John actually goes on to talk about what this looks like. This is 1 John chapter 4. This is what the life lived in the light looks like. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his dear Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us, we ought also to love one another. See, as we look at God's love, it changes us. It drives us so that we love one another. When you know God's forgiveness, you forgive others. So what should we do? We know that this love has come into the world. Maybe we should get our placards out at the footy or at the cricket and have John 3:16 for the people to see. Maybe you could get it tattooed on your forehead. But I actually think what the Bible teaches us is that love is to sink into our lives so that we love others. God sent Jesus, and now God sends us. And so this verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life," is an invitation to live life to the full. Now let's pray that God will help us to live like that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, that you so loved us, that you sent what was most precious to you, that you could not have sent anything more. And we thank you that in Jesus you invite us into relationship, that we can know you, know your love, and be transformed by it. Lord, we pray that you'll be at work in us and through us, that others might see the love of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.